Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is going to be taken from the reading in the Gospel of John. You may be seated. Begin with the word of prayer. Almighty Father, your mercies are new to us every morning, and yet the message remains the same, that we are saved on account of Jesus Christ alone. Lord, today we pray that as we gather in your presence, that you would grant us your Holy Spirit so that we would receive your word in faith and be bold to share it with those who come into our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So there you are, standing at the elevator, getting ready to go up. You have been waiting for this moment. You have been praying for this opportunity, and the chance has now arrived. The doors open, and you and one other person walk onto the elevator. And as those doors close, you take a deep breath, and you reach in your pocket, and you pull out that little wooden cross that you picked up at the information booth on Sunday morning at church. And you hand it to them and you say, listen, this is a gift from my church. We just want to remind you of how much God loves you. And we want you to know that I'm going to pray for you. And this person takes the cross and they kind of look at it and they kind of smile and they say, well, wow, pretty cool. Thank you very much. Now, you know, actually, I got a question for you. I've been watching the news. I've been hearing a lot about Christianity and evangelicals and all these things this week. And I got a lot of questions. What do you think Christianity is all about? And now your anxiety is skyrocketing faster than the elevator. What are you going to say? Do you have your gospel elevator speech ready? Now you're nervous, but you remember, oh, I went to church on Sunday. And I heard John 3:16. And so you look at him and you say, well, in a nutshell, this is Christianity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And they say, okay, so it's about God's love. And you're like, that's right. Oh, this is going well. Not only is it about God's love, you say, but it's also about how gracious God is. And you remember you heard Ephesians 2 on Sunday, and you say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. So they look at the cross, and they go, okay, so it's about God being loving and gracious. And you say, yes. And you get to their floor and the door opens and they say, gracious and loving. That's great. Because, you know, I was always brought up to think it was about like this brutal cross and to Jesus dying. And I thought, that's too much. I like the grace and love stuff much more. Thanks. And then the door closes and you're like, whoa, no, hold on. What just happened? I mean, I just gave them the gospel and they walked away denying Jesus. Wait, what went wrong? I mean, you had the Bible verses. You got the verses that you cling to in life and in death. You thought you gave them the whole show. You even got into like theological concepts like grace. You really thought you had it. And then they walk away denying the death of Jesus. What happened? What was missing in the presentation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. I want to help you prepare to have that elevator speech today. And so we're going to look at these verses a little bit that we had here this morning. These are really like the great verses in all of Scripture that we get to deal with here today. And they help us understand, I think, the answer to the question, what is Christianity? And it's a question a lot of people really are asking, and I would venture to guess that you're going to find a variety of answers from a variety of people throughout the world. And there are a lot of wrong answers about what Christianity is. I mean, some people are going to tell you that religion in general, and Christianity specifically, they exist to make us good people, to help us become better citizens. God is good, and he wants us to be good, so God's going to make us good, and we've got to work towards becoming good. That's kind of an answer you're going to get a lot. I just finished reading this last week a biography on Benjamin Franklin, and towards the end of Franklin's life, somebody asked him, what do you believe about God? And Franklin said this, well, I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, and that the most acceptable service we can render to him is doing good to his other children. It's a pretty broad and general answer, God, whoever that may be, is to be honored by being good to your neighbor. God wants you to be moral. God wants you to feel good. This has become sort of the default position in our country. There's a big study done on this that says people generally believe that God wants you to be good. God made this whole thing, and he's kind of in charge of it, but he doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. So be good, be moral, and that's just kind of what life is supposed to be. I hope that you have a better answer than that. I hope that your elevator speech is a little better than Benjamin Franklin's elevators. I hope that as you come here, you remember that God, Christianity is not just about making good people into better people, but it's about the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit going out on a rescue mission to save the creation that they have made from the sin that has enslaved it so terribly. That it's about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming to save creation, including you and including me. It's this salvation work of God that is what Christianity is all about. And there's two parts to this salvation work that I think are really quite shocking and surprising to the world around us. The first aspect of this saving work that's so surprising is the fact that God is gracious. And this is what we did cover in our little elevator speech before, that God is gracious to sinners. That God would graciously come and save sinners is completely counterintuitive to the way we view things in this world. Because we believe inherently that God's job is to make us good. And so Christianity is all about making good people, again, into better people by means of discipline, by means of morality, by means of religious ritual. Now, to be sure, in Christianity, we have ritual. We do have morality. We do have discipline. These are important things, and they're part of our faith. And there's a place for that discussion to talk about those things. But the real point is not those things. The real point is that Christ comes to save sinners. And that those other things, those works, those disciplines, those religious rituals, they contribute nothing to your salvation. They don't contribute anything. And as soon as you try and bring them into the conversation to prove that you've earned something before God, God looks at all those good things you've done and he says, "Oh, I forgive that too." And we don't even know what to do with that. Our world operates with the idea that we should be rewarded for our good and punished for our bad. It's karma. Karma is our default position. Karma is the idea that you get from the Beatles' last song on Abbey Road called The End, "The love you take is equal to the love you make." Benjamin Franklin, Paul, George, John, and Ringo, they all agree that good people get rewarded, and that's what religion is about. But Christ comes from heaven with the radical message that says God came to save sinners. Jesus is for the guilty, for those who are at fault, for those who have rebelled against him. He is our only hope in life and in death. For spiritually speaking, you and I are both dead and guilty. Dead because we can do nothing to save ourselves, and guilty because what we do by nature and apart from Christ is only rebel against God and violate his law. As Jesus said it to us today in the Gospel of John, he comes into a world that loves the darkness rather than the light. But God so loved that rebellious, spiritually dead, moral guilty world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did this for the world, for you, for free, by grace alone. It's a gift for free, and it's shocking, and it's delightful. And that's as far as we got in that little elevator speech, which means we're missing one more aspect. It's not just that God is gracious that makes the gospel message so shocking, but it's also how God is gracious. It's also what he does, not just that he's gracious, but how he gives that grace to us. And that is, as we've alluded to already, by sending his Son. But not just by generally sending his Son, but by sending his Son on a very specific mission. To go to the cross. To die on the cross. And of course, to rise again on the third day. You see, there is no grace. There is no salvation. There is no love of God apart from the bloody cross of Jesus Christ. But with that bloody cross, God graciously gives his salvation to the whole world. That's the message of Christianity. And I love that verse from John 3:16. It is, in a sense, the gospel in a nutshell. But the problem I have with it is we only read that verse and we forget the other verses that are going on all around it. And you know what? Those are pretty good verses too. We should read the whole context. As we come to John 3:16, before you get there, you get John 3:14 and 15, because 14 and 15 always come before 16. And this is what those verses say. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now, when Jesus speaks there of Moses lifting up the serpent and talks about the Son of Man being lifted up, that lifting up is talking about the cross. Now, this whole thing I'm about to do, you might not get this one into your elevator speech unless you're like going on a really tall building. But here, Jesus is calling to mind the book of Numbers, what we heard in our Old Testament reading. And that remarkable account where God is leading the people through the wilderness to the promised land, and they grow frustrated and tired of God, and they're angry at him, and they don't like the gifts he's giving anymore. They're tired of this worthless food, and they grumble, and they rebel, and they sin. And so God has to punish them, to discipline them. And so he sends into the camp fiery serpents to punish them for their sins. And people are getting bit, and they're getting sick, and many people are dying. And it's by means of these serpents that the people begin to recognize their sin, and from that position of judgment, they cry out to God for mercy. And they say to God, remove these snakes from us. Take the snakes away. And so far, so good. The story's kind of making some sense. And then God answers their prayer, and he doesn't remove the snakes. Instead, God does something different. This is what Moses writes. God said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. God sent them salvation from the snakes by having Moses fashion this serpent, this bronze serpent, and put it up on this huge standard on this pole so that when people were bitten, they could see that snake and they would be healed and they would be saved. Moses writes, if a serpent bit anyone, he would look on the bronze serpent and live. God was utterly and completely gracious to the people. He gave salvation to all who trusted his promise. It's just that he gave it in a very specific way, and in that way only, by looking at that raised serpent, the very image of their judgment, with the promise of God attached to it. When they trusted that promise attached to that serpent, then they were healed. And in that way only, by looking at the very image of their judgment. We live in a world right now where we are facing our own judgment, right? We see the suffering and the pain that we endure through our lives. We see the guilt and the shame that weigh heavily on our consciences. We face the reality of death every single day, and we know that the wages, the consequence of sin, is death. And when we are confronted by our guilt and our shame and the reality of death, just like the Israelites, we cry out to God for mercy. And God hears our prayers, and he graciously answers our prayers. But he doesn't just snap his fingers and take death away. He doesn't just snap his fingers and remove every aspect of sin from everything going on around us. Just like the fiery serpents are still there, we still struggle with these things. But God does answer our prayer by sending his son Jesus into the world to take our sins upon himself so that he can die on the cross. God saves us by raising up Jesus on that cross. And on that cross, God shows his love. By not ignoring your sins and not just sort of pretending like they're not there, but by taking the punishment that your sins deserve. The Son of God endures the judgment of God on the cross by dying in your place, by pouring out his lifeblood so that your sins are forgiven, washed away in his blood. It's by the dying of Jesus. by his resurrection from the grave, that God removes the judgment that you deserve. By his blood, by his dying, and by that alone, you are forgiven. And God there is gracious to you. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about the gospel, the good news that God came in our flesh in the person of Jesus Christ so that he might die on the cross to take away our sins, to take away my sins, to take away your sins, to take away the sins of the world. But not in some general way. He does it in one very specific way alone, through the cross. It is the cross that wins salvation for the world, and it's on the cross that Jesus won salvation for you. That is the message of Christianity. So now the day is over, and you're back on the elevator, and you're going down, and you're a little frustrated with your last elevator adventure, and yet, as you get to a floor, the door opens, and your friend walks back on. How about this? And they smile and they say, fancy seeing you here. And you smile back and they pull out the cross and they say, listen, thanks again for this. You really made my day. But I got more questions. I mean, I love this grace and love talk. But why did you give me a cross? What's the point of the cross? My question to you, friends, is what do you say now? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the cross of Jesus, for there and there alone you have given salvation to the world. We pray today, Lord, that you would make us bold to do two things. One, to trust the promises that they are for us, to believe the gospel. But two, to be bold in sharing this message, so that others might know you have taken their sins away as well, and they would find the hope, the comfort, the great gift of eternal life which you have given us in love. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.